My name is Marvin Moles, and I'm from Oklahoma now. never really considered myself from anywhere, but that's where we live, and we attend the congregation there in Guthrie. Appreciate your prayers. I need the Lord to help me. If this is going to be blessed, it's going to be blessed by the Lord. It's going to be blessed by His Spirit and by His Word. I just want to share some thoughts that I've had recently, and they just continue to resonate in my mind and in my heart. If we can turn to Hebrews chapter 13. Just want to read one verse out of this. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5. Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as ye have. For he hath said, I will never leave thee, nor forsake thee. What's been on my heart lately, and I really feel like the Lord has been speaking to me and talking to me and teaching me and helping me grow in contentment. Being content. I think about that word and what it means. Sufficiency of the necessities of life. Being satisfied. You know, I think about that, and I was thinking about it during prayer and how we've talked about our world and the things that are going on in the United States now. And I really see a discontent in our country. Dissatisfaction. And I think about it that there's a great number of people who are just dissatisfied. And it won't really matter what takes place in their lives, what kind of circumstances they face, but they will always be dissatisfied. There will always be a necessity for more, or there will always be an emptiness in what they have. I look back on my life and I look at, you know, before I was saved, and I had a life of dissatisfaction. I had an emptiness inside me that I didn't really know I had, but I had a craving for things, a desire to be fulfilled, a desire to be satisfied, and I sought many different avenues to try to, provide for that need, to fulfill that need. Trying to fill a void. You know, you can list the things that I've done to do that. Alcohol, drugs. Trying to fill a void. Trying to be satisfied. Trying to have a sense of contentment. And never being able to fill that need. Never being able to be completely and utterly satisfied. And I believe that that's really what's taking place in our world today, is that you have people who have voids in their hearts and in their lives. They don't know they have a void. They don't know that there's a hole there. All they know is that they have needs that are not being satisfied. They're not being accommodated for. And so they seek any number of means to try to fill those needs. I think of those too who have found contentment, yes, in their lives, and they can feel satisfied and feel like they have their needs being met. But I see it also too that those people, when trouble hits, trials come, suffering any number of things that things are no longer going your way. Financially, whatever it might be, that their contentment begins to wane. I think sometimes we look at our lives and, you know, somebody that's discontent, we might use a means to try to help them find contentment. And so what we would say is, well, it could be worse, right? You might say, you know, I had to, my supper this evening wasn't very good. It was a little bit overcooked, or it was a little bit undercooked, or I don't really care for green beans. I'd much rather have corn, or, you know what I mean, you can just go on and on and on. But then somebody might say, you know, and I was just talking to Brother Doug a week or so ago about this, and in Africa, you got two children, one bowl of food, and they're having to share the bowl and feeling sad in their hearts because they're not going to get enough to eat. So when you do that and you bring that perspective in, you can become content with green beans. You can become content with a little overcooked steak or a little bit of an undercooked steak. Perspective. And so what that tells me is a lot of times our contentment is being based on temporal things. It's being based on circumstances and situations. If everything is just going my way, then I can be content. But let me ask you, can those two little boys that are sharing that one bowl of rice be content? Can they be content with what they have? And even give thanks. Lord, thank you that we have one bowl of rice today. Yesterday, we did not have one. I was telling my wife that I had somebody that we were just sitting down. We were having a meager lunch, and I think it was a couple soups and some fixings that we put in there, and we were getting ready to eat, and we prayed for our food, and a perspective came to me that day. Because when he prayed for his food in a way that I had not heard before. I knew that when he was praying, that he had a day, then there was no food. The way he prayed for his food told me that there was days that he didn't have it to eat. And it just, I don't know, it just changed my perspective. And it made me more thankful and made me more content. But then there's those two that no matter what they're going through in life, no matter how bad things seem to get, extended sickness, financial ruin, losses, family members pass, it seems like no matter what comes against them in life, there's contentment in their heart. And you may think to yourself, how is that possible? How can you be content when you're hungry? Or how can you be content when you're sick and suffering? How is that possible? Let's go to Job chapter 1. We're not going to read a lot of it. Hopefully, most of us, if not everyone in here, is familiar with Job. But I just want to read a couple verses. Job chapter 1, verse 21. And this is what Job said. Naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave, and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Now, I don't know if you're familiar with what took place in Job's life, but he lost everything. He lost everything he owned. He lost all of his children. And he was afflicted with sickness and suffering. Many would look at Job and think, how could it get any worse? And so I would almost have to say that Job would not be comforted by you saying it could be worse. Right? I don't know how I could see him raising his hands thinking like, how could it be worse? Now maybe it could have been, but I don't see that he would find much comfort in that. But that statement that he made to me reveals contentment. He came into the world naked, and he shall return the same way. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Let's look at chapter 2, verse 9. Then said his wife unto him, dost thou still retain thine integrity? Curse God and die. But he said unto her, thou speakest as one of the foolish women speaketh. What? Shall we receive good at the hand of God? And shall we not receive evil? In all this did not Job sin with his lips? Contentment. Satisfied. In the worst possible circumstances of his life, he still found a sufficiency in his heart and in his life that he could bless God. Yes. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Even after having said that he believed it was from the hand of God. And in truth, it really was. Because the Lord could have prevented it. Satan asked to afflict Job, and God granted permission. Let's go to Philippians chapter 4. Starting in verse 11. Well, we'll start at 10. But I rejoiced in the Lord greatly, that now at the last your care of me hath flourished again, wherein ye were also careful, but ye lacked opportunity. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. I know both how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. We ask, or I've asked it already once before, how is this possible? To give thanks or to be content in the worst circumstances of your life. And then verse 13, I think, wraps it up and says, I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. I think about these scriptures, and Paul is basically giving a perspective again that he's learned to be content even when things aren't going his way. Even when things are troublesome, or he said, hunger. If you think about some of the things that Paul has suffered in his life, I would say that this, again, is a profound statement that he could say this. That he has learned to be content. Because the man was beaten. many times. Whether it be by stripes or by rods, he was shipwrecked. I think he said 3 times. A night and a day he spent in the deep. He was stoned. I mean, the list could go on and on. He was rejected of the Jews and suffered affliction and persecution from them. He was imprisoned. But you know, I think of that statement where he says, I have learned. You know, it didn't just come automatic. It didn't just drop into his heart one day. But he had learned how to be content in all these different types of circumstances. And I ask you, how is it that he learned that? Did he learn contentment when being hungry by being full every day? Did he learn contentment about when you're sick by being healthy all the time or every day? Did he learn these lessons by life being just perfect all the time, where there was nothing wrong, no problems, no difficulties, no troublesome times? Did he learn anything because of that? Or was the lessons that he learned in those types of circumstances? I had a thing that recently happened to me, and it was kind of a financial situation where I took a little bit of a hit financially. And somebody was asking me about it, and we were talking about it, and I feel like the Lord just spoke to me in relation to what I already had been thinking about. I didn't complain when the money was coming in, right? That didn't bother me a bit. And so why will I complain now when it's leaving? You know, the Lord has given and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. He teaches us lessons. He instructs us by the things that we face in life. Job learned a lesson. It was a difficult lesson to learn and a strenuous thing that he went through. But God is teaching him. And again, Paul, God is teaching Paul. And I think sometimes we get so limited in our sight about what is important and what is really needful. This definition, sufficiency of the necessities of life. What are the real necessities of life? You know, I think if we were to sit down and ask what are the necessities of life, money would probably be in there, right? Necessities, we all need money, of course. We need food. We need clothing. But are those the real necessities that we have? I think of a scripture where Jesus said, man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Those necessities, albeit are necessary, but they're not our real need, our real necessity. Our real necessity, that void that we talked about, it can only be filled with the presence of God. It can only be filled through salvation and a relationship, a connection with God. That's why the void is there, because we need God. We need Him to fill that place in us. And He brings contentment. He brings satisfaction. I think about Him being the bread of life. And the water, the living water that springs up within us. He's all those things. He's our sustenance. These men were satisfied in their circumstances because they knew that God was with them. I think of Paul and Silas, after having been whipped and beaten and thrown into the center portion of the prison, it says that they sang songs of praise unto God. So much so that the prisoners heard them. And that was a testimony to them. And God did a miraculous thing. But they had contentment in their heart because God was with them. And we can have that too. We can have contentment and peace and security in our hearts no matter what we face in life. If we have that relationship with God and that communion with Him and that acknowledgement and that understanding that He's with us, that He's not left us, and that He's a protector to us, He's a keeper to us, He's going to provide us with our necessities and our needs, and we're going to be okay as long as we're in the center of His will in our lives. We were talking about how Paul learned to be content. You know who else learned something? We might not think that he would, but Jesus learned something. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 5. Verses 7 and 8. Who, in the days of his flesh, this was Jesus, when he had offered up prayers and supplications with strong crying and tears unto him that was able to save him from death, and was heard in that he feared, though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered. Jesus was learning something in the things that he experienced while here on earth, and it enabled him to have true compassion for us, because he experienced all the things that we experience. He went through them and he learned obedience because of the things that he suffered. So what does that tell us about us? If Jesus learned and Paul learned as a result of the circumstances they faced in life, the situations that came against them, the bad times, if you will, shouldn't we learn from them too? Can't we glean something from those times? Can't we gather in a certain kind of contentment and satisfaction? I was thinking about it. Contentment and true satisfaction, or being satisfied, is a place of peace and rest. Because you're not turmoiled about the things around you. You're not being so affected by them. But you've found a peaceful, restful place in Christ. When you're anxious, when you're worried, when you're seeing nothing but negatives around you, there's no contentment. There's no peace. There's no satisfaction. It's just more and more trouble. It's just stirring it up in your heart. But when you can be content with such things as you have, there's a peace in it. And so contentment and satisfaction is being right in the middle of that peaceful place, that restful place in Christ, and being in the center of His will. I was thinking about Job and Paul and their situations and their circumstances, and trying to imagine what their thoughts were when they were being whipped, or what their thoughts were when the message came that their children had been killed. And I just imagine them thinking that they still have God. They still have the Lord to be with them and to strengthen them and keep them. They still have God to provide for their needs. And He will be their comfort and their strength and their encouragement in those difficult times. And that's how it will be with us. Shall we receive from the hand of God good and not evil? Or you could say it in a sense, should we receive only the good from God and not see the difficult times and the strenuous times as being part of His will too? Because the Scriptures tell us that we can learn some things. And I believe that God's priorities for us are way different than what our priorities are. Because God is looking at things from an eternal perspective. And we oftentimes see things only in a temporal perspective. Because that's what we know. That's what we can see. We can see, we can touch, we can hear. We think of things that are right here and now. But God is looking far beyond that. He's looking at things from an eternal perspective. And what is more important? Eternal rest and security and contentment? Or temporal rest and contentment by having your 60, 70, 80 years of life be nothing but contentment? But for eternity, there's discontent and suffering. The Lord wants to teach us something. He wants to bring us into a point of contentment with Him, that we can be content and live with Him for eternity. Yes. And have a peace within our hearts and a satisfaction within our lives. I think about this message and I'm learning. I'm still learning. Because I need the Lord to teach me that when difficult times come, to find that place of contentment in Him. To find that realization that God is still with me. That He's not left me. He's not forsaken me. Salvation is the biggest blessing that we could ever have. The Lord has really blessed us. He's really blessed me. I have more now than I've ever had in my life. I have more now than I ever thought I would have. Because of the mercy of God, because of the grace of God, and the goodness of God. But I will say that I've learned a level of contentment too, where I've been in some bad places with difficult times, hard times. It's almost hard to imagine, even thinking back at what those times were like. But you know, I had a contentment then too. You'd be amazed what we can get used to. But the Lord blessed me with a contentment in my heart. That as long as I had Him, I had everything. As long as I had God in my heart and in my life, I had it all. He really satisfies. He is the satisfaction that we need in life. He encompasses it all if we can just rest in Him and give ourselves completely into His hands and allow Him to direct our lives. He will bring satisfaction. It comes through Jesus Christ, the bread of life, the river of living water. He is our contentment. And may the Lord help us to learn, continue to learn, to be content. Because I do feel like when those situations come and I would say that we ought to maybe suspect and expect difficult times. But we can know that we can be at peace and security in Christ. I was thinking about this song, and I'm not a singer or anything like that, but my soul is satisfied. I talked about that time in my life where there was just no satisfaction, and I was filling myself up with everything that was corrupt and thinking that it was going to bring peace to my life and bring satisfaction to my life, and it brought nothing but more discontent. But you know, when God poured himself into me and filled that void, the place that I found myself in was a horrible pit. But I will say that my life was better than it had ever been before because of the presence of God in my heart and in my life. That the struggles of life and the pressures of man and persecutions and threatenings and all of these things didn't mean anything because I had Christ. He filled the void. He brought satisfaction. He brought contentment. He brought a purpose in life. He gave me new life and a new hope and a reason to follow after him. And contentment came. But I appreciate your prayers because, like I said, I've been blessed way beyond I would have ever imagined. And I don't want that blessing and all of what God has done to cause me to be discontent when things don't go my way. You know, we can get kind of used to the Lord blessing us. We get used to him pouring it on, you know? And I don't want that to hinder me or keep me from being able to receive instruction and correction and what I need. Because although I think I need blessings all the time, the Lord knows better. He knows that I need some difficulties too, to keep me balanced, to keep me needing him, to keep me coming to him and praying, seeking. I'll ask you this. What times do you pray the hardest? What times do you really get after your prayer before God? Is it when you're blessed? Is it when he's pouring it out and everything's just going your way and this is blessed and that's blessed? Would you say that those are the times that you really pray hard? Or is it when things are not going so well? And there's looming difficulties or looming troubles or looming trials that are about to come against you. You have that sick loved one that's on their deathbed. And you cry out to God harder and more fervently than you've ever done before because you have a need. I think that our relationship with God grows in our need for him. And so we don't ever want to get into a place where we don't need God, or at least we don't think we do. May the Lord help us to always see our need for him and realize that he is the fulfillment of all of our needs. And we can have contentment and peace in him just from him being present in our hearts. I appreciate you all giving me some time to share with you. May the Lord bless you. Another song I was thinking about was 113. If you all don't mind, could we sing that song?